Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost conservative populist radio program. April is Confederate Heritage and History Month, and here at the Political Cesspool, we're doing our part to bring you the best guests and interviews to raise the public's awareness. Stand by now for another great installment of the Political Cesspool, and here's your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. It is Saturday, May 2nd, but as we mentioned at the top of the show, we had so much fun during Confederate History Month that we are playing April's intro for one more week. That's how we roll around here. Well, we just got back from our trip behind enemy lines with Keith Alexander in the last segment, which we were discussing the very ominous looming hate crimes agenda that is pushing its way through our, or should I say their, governmental system as we speak. But before we go any further, I'd like to take a call from a gentleman who's been waiting patiently, Leslie in Minnesota. Leslie, how are you tonight?
Speak on your program.
It's great to have you.
Thank you so much. I, James, really think that the opposition to gay rights, gay marriage, et cetera, has a very, very difficult chance of succeeding for one reason, James, because the U.S. Constitution basically forbids, imposing religion on the people. And a lot of the argument against gay rights is based sort of on the religious principles that your earlier guest was outlining. Another problem I just see that I don't think a lot of people is, I think that Jesus himself happened to be gay and would support gay rights if he were alive today. All of his apostles and followers were men. Jesus never had a girlfriend, and neither did any of these guys. They said, sat around and bathed nude and all of this sort of thing. And so I think it's really a weak sort of position that you guys have, but I just don't see any chance that you can prevail in it.
Well, listen, we might not prevail. I couldn't disagree with you more strongly about Jesus Christ, but, Winston, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm on the phone now.
I'd like for you to answer that comment. Thank you for the call, Leslie.
Thank you.
Leslie's stupid assertion that Jesus was a homosexual has no basis whatsoever other than the opinion that Leslie just espoused that he had a bunch of followers who were men. That is the most specious argument for Jesus being a homosexual that I've ever heard. Besides that, our objections to this hate crime legislation are not primarily religious. They are constitutional. This legislation will give one group of people complete control over the thoughts and speech of another. This is a forced association bill. This is saying that we have to put up with people that we don't like being around, and we have to guard every word we say to them. We have to guard every action we take around them, lest we end up in a federal penitentiary as hate criminals.
It completely violates and trumps the freedoms of speech and association for those of us who aren't sodomites.
But the assertion that Jesus Christ was gay is offensive. It has no basis anywhere other than in the imaginations of people who are hell-bent, literally, of trying to co-opt the Christian message.
Well,
Jesus Christ was not a sodomite because he affirmed the judgments of the Old Testament. And one of those judgments of the Old Testament, Leslie, is that God called sodomy an abomination. And Jesus Christ never, ever did away with the Old Testament. He affirmed the Old Testament. He didn't deal with it explicitly because he didn't have to deal with it. It was common to think that sodomy was a disgusting, filthy proclivity.
Well, Winston, I appreciate your your animation tonight and your zeal. I as you know, haven't slept since Thursday, hardly. I hear what I heard what Leslie was saying, and you know, honestly, in being in this business for 5 years, going on 5 years, I had thought I'd heard it all. I had never heard the argument that Jesus Christ was a homosexual before tonight. But if you stick around long enough, I guess you continue to be amazed every now and then. But one thing Leslie was probably right about is that, not for the reasons he mentioned, but for the reasons we've mentioned, this is certainly an uphill battle. But yeah, everything else I would throw out with the bathwater. Falcon in Texas, you're on the air with James Edwards and Winston Smith in the Political Cesspool.
Yes, hello, sir.
Hello.
I'd like to say that caller was absolutely full of it. The one making the comment about Jesus Christ having any sort of affiliation with homosexuality.
Right.
And that there is, I'm not sure if you've read this, but there's a clear link between pedophilia and homosexuality.
Oh, well, no, listen, absolutely. Well, I want you to tell me what you're referring to specifically, because I might not be aware of your specific referral here, but for ages, and I think very rightly so, homosexuality or sodomy has been very closely correlated with pedophilia. And in fact, that was one of the things even Rick Warren said before it became unfashionable, or as the sodomite Miss America judge said, politically unsavvy to speak of such things. Yeah, Rick Warren compared them to pedophiles even. And what's your facts here?
Well, I was referring to the that man Kinsey and the studies he did were, or I don't know if you're, are you aware of that?
No.
I am.
This man Kinsey, he did these studies where he had he was asserting that the majority of men in the United States were not pedophiles, but they were homosexuals. And he had these weird studies where he was getting pedophiles and having them, abuse the children, and he was testing how much pleasure, according to him, that they were having. And so by that, he was saying that they were somehow connected with it. And so basically, he said that there was nothing wrong with it.
Well, nobody takes Kinsey seriously anymore. That study that he did was so flawed in so many ways. His main source for participants was prisoners, for crying out loud.
That's true.
But nobody takes Kinsey seriously anymore. It wasn't that long ago that Kinsey's estimate was revised, and they found out that that less than 1% of males are sodomites. And, you know, the closet became considerably smaller overnight. But Kinsey, that study nobody uses it anymore because it's been so discredited.
Thank you for the call, Falcon. We appreciate your opinion on the matter.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Always great to hear from someone who agrees with us, right, Winston?
Yeah. I'm still amazed that that idiot Leslie would deign to get on a radio show and say, well, Jesus Christ was a sodomite. Now, that's just the most ridiculous, most ignorant, most uneducated, and probably the most offensive thing I've ever heard. But, James, if you don't mind, I would like to take a few minutes and address this hate legislation issue.
Yeah, I don't know if we have a few minutes before the next break, but you can have all we got, and then we'll carry over.
All right. Well, during the, the Democrats and the Judicial Committee there in the House, they did not want to have any hearings on this legislation. They fought against it tooth and nail, but thanks to the work of a good man by the name of Ted Pike, the American people were roused to action, and they contacted their legislators, and the Democrats reluctantly allowed hearings on this filthy, notorious, odious legislation. And during the debate, during the hearings, Representative King, he wanted to amend this bill to exclude pedophiles from the protections. But with this legislation is all about protecting sexual deviants from criticism. And Representative King wanted to have pedophiles excluded from it. And the Democrats refused to add that amendment. And Representative Gohmert said, quote, if a mother hears that her child has been raped and she slaps the assailant with her purse, she is now gone after as a hate criminal, unquote. And the American Psychological Association identifies 547 paraphilias, or sexual deviancies. And the Negro representative, Alcee Hastings, he read a long and disgusting list of some of those proclivities. This was on C-SPAN. And a few months later, declared that the intent of the hate crime legislation was to protect the practitioners of those proclivities.
Hey, Winston, we're going to have to hold up right there. We got a break. We're going to come back and let you pick it up right exactly where you're stopping there. Stay tuned. More to come, ladies and gentlemen.
There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
We still have so much to talk about tonight. 3 hours can't even begin to contain the thoughts of the hosting staff of the Political Cesspool radio program. And we've got some callers waiting. Just wait patiently. We will get to you coming up in just a few minutes, about 10 minutes time, actually. We'll be joined by Ed Steele, and you're not going to want to miss what he has to say. If your blood pressure hasn't spiked yet, you just wait. You just wait. Ed Steele will be on in a minute. Before we go to Ed, let's go back to Winston. Winston, you were on a roll, and I don't want to stop that tide from coming in.
I was talking about the representative Alcee Hastings, who had read a list of some of the deviancies and the disgusting activities that the American Psychological Association identifies as quote paraphilias unquote. And Representative Hastings said on the floor of the House on C-SPAN that the hate crime legislation was to protect the practitioners of those perversions, that they may not, quote, live in fear because of who they are, unquote.
Yeah.
Democrats don't want pedophiles to live in fear. Democrats want pedophiles to be able to fearlessly prey upon your children.
Well, they don't mind if Christians have to live in fear. We you know, it's been well documented, in fact, to use his name again, Reverend Ted Pike was on to talk about the Christians in Philadelphia who were arrested for passing out biblical tracts. I guess it's okay to persecute and condemn and to arouse fear within the hearts and minds of normal people. But by God, if you are some sort of a deviant, a pervert, illegal alien, anything other than an American or someone of a Western traditional Christian background, then, you know, hey, man, you got it made in the shade.
Well, speaking of Ted Pike, James, folks, you need to go to www.truthtellers.org. Again, that's www.truthtellers.org. That's the National Prayer Network, which Ted Pike runs. You need to watch some of the videos there. One thing that Ted Pike has done for us is he showed from Zionist writings that it's an established fact that pedophilia is standard operating procedure within Zionism. Zionist writings give rabbis permission to molest little boys, and I think they even make provisions for the rabbis' wives to molest children. Now, this explains why the Anti-Defamation League, that notorious satanic Zionist organization, has been at the vanguard of hate crime legislation. Now we're faced with a bill, S-909, which that paragon of morality, Ted Kennedy, introduced into the Senate last week, and they're going to try to run it through. They're going to try to demand, they're going to try to get it passed as quickly as possible so they can get the reconciliation done between the House and Senate versions. And you need to call your representatives, you need to call your senators. Come Monday, you need to call your senators and urge them to vote against S-909 and to fight against it. And you need to call all the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee and tell them to vote against it. Folks, if this legislation becomes law, then you and your children will be totally defenseless. You and your children will be at the mercy of the most vile, base, and vulgar people you can imagine, and some that you cannot imagine. You parents will become new targets of lawsuits. And especially, your children will become targets, not just for the disgusting deviants who want to amuse themselves with your children, but they'll also become targets for re-education. Sodomite groups will not have to secretly get access to the public schools to recruit new practitioners. They'll be able to do it openly. And if you dare object, then you lay yourself open to a charge of a hate crime.
Well,
you have
no
means of protecting your children. You either let sodomites have your children or you become a hate criminal. If this legislation becomes law, then the ADL and especially the SPLC will celebrate maniacally. The day that this legislation becomes law will become the ADL's and the SPLC's Thanksgiving Day, their Christmas Day, their Easter Day, their 4th of July. Now, when Representative Alcee Hastings was on the floor of the House, he said this, quote, "I urge my colleagues to vote in favor of this rule so we can continue to move this country forward, move the country toward fully achieving its promise of justice and liberty for all Americans," unquote.
Yeah.
You know, my friends, when the delegates to the Constitutional Convention debated the issues of freedom and liberty and justice, and when they signed their names to that document to ensure the blessings of liberty to themselves and their posterity, and as they thought about their posterity, I am as certain as I can be that they did not think of pedophiles, faggots, cross-dressers, or any other perverts and deviants being able to control the thinking and the language and the behavior of normal people.
Well, here's the thing.
Not what they had in mind.
Winston, here's the thing. They were eternally wise, but in their infinite wisdom in that day and age, never could they have foreseen the decline of American society to the point that it now exists. I mean, there's just no way that mere mortals could have seen that America would have fallen this far. And in no way would they have been prepared to give us a safeguard into that Constitution, because not in their wildest nightmares would they have thought that this would have been possible. And then, of course, with hate, it's what is that? I mean, it's whatever I guess they say it is, and the definition certainly fluctuates from case to case. There is no set definition. It is just, I tell you, it's a slippery slope. It will be they will have arbitrary power to go after whomever they want. And I'm telling you, the laws that are going to be put into place to handcuff us and our minds will not be in place on the practitioners of Marxism, of cultural Marxism. Yeah. I mean, this is a, you know, it's two sets of laws. There is no law that governs them and their quest for power and for oppression, but they will expect us to abide by the laws that they set forth. And if we don't, then we'll be punished, you know, severely for stepping out of the lines of political correctness. But then again, as we talked about with Keith last hour, never will you find, a minority or a homosexual that is going to be guilty of any sort of hate crimes, because they are incapable of committing these crimes, according to the people who are writing this legislation.
James, the framers of the Constitution would not have built this kind of safeguard into it, because what this hate crime legislation does is to outlaw freedom of speech and freedom of association, and they had built that into the Constitution. So the irony of it is that the framers of the Constitution would be called hate criminals, because they're the ones who allowed us to critique any segment of society and have it constitutionally protected. This hate crime legislation is a destroying of the Constitution. It is a destroying of freedom of speech. It is a destroying of freedom of association. We've all heard the comical things that have said that our founding fathers would have been called terrorists today, domestic terrorists.
That's the truth.
And
I'll tell you this. I'll go one further. If Jesus Christ himself, and we've said this before, if Jesus Christ walked in to a mega church today, he himself would be shouted down as an anti-Semite.
That's right. We ought to take a call.
Well, let's try to take a call. Let's go to Mike. Mike in Ohio, I believe. Mike, are you there?
Hello?
Mike, are you with us?
Yes, this is Mike.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I must say, that one, caller Leslie from Minnesota, that was the most hilarious thing I've ever heard, ever. But speaking of things, I visited your website this week.
Hey, set tight, Mike. We're going to get you at the top of the next segment. I'm sorry, I didn't know the break was coming up so soon. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the program, everyone. James Edwards here with you, along with my co-host for the evening, Winston Smith. We have our good friend and featured guest for the night, attorney Edgar J. Steele, on the line right now. We're going to get to him immediately. As soon as we hear from Mike, who is on the line, Mike, I want to afford you the opportunity to quickly make a point before we go to our guest.
Oh, sure. Not a problem. Sort of a courtesy call, because this goes back quite a few years, actually, when you guys first started. I was wondering, how is Brandi Stokes doing? Because I remember several years ago she was suing the school because of discrimination and poor treatment by the students and the principal. Any updates from her recently?
You know what? I remember just about every show I've ever done, and we've done over 600 of them since we started. And I remember that case specifically. Brandi Stokes was on the O'Reilly Factor. That's how we heard about her for a situation that you were referring to there. Basically, she had been beaten up, assaulted by a black student, and was fired because I think it was discriminatory that her skull bone, you know, injured his knuckles or something along those lines. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah,
that's basically the story. No, you know, I haven't talked to Brandi in a couple of years, but I'll tell you what I'll do, Mike. If you can email me, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, email me. I still have her phone number. I will call her and get an answer for you, and I'll respond via email. Is that okay?
Yeah, definitely. Take care.
Hey, thank you for the call, and thanks for being a longtime listener. That was back in 05 when we had her on. That's a good memory. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
That being said, let's go now to another good friend of ours, Edgar J. Steele. And I'm so glad Ed called us tonight, not for the least of which fact being he's a great guest, but because he is going to bring up something that I have really, it's really been simmering within me for quite some time, situations such as this. Now, I can't think of a single instance as flagrant as the one that Ed's about to fill you in on, but I have seen stuff like this that has really rubbed me the wrong way, coming from the entity that Ed's going to be talking about. Ed, are you with us?
Hi. How are you, James?
I'm doing good. It's always good to talk to you, but under the circumstances, I'm afraid, as tired as I am, you're going to get me riled up. Tell the folks what's going on.
Yeah, I suspect I am. You know, I'm no milquetoast when it comes to talking about race relations, and I'm no shrinking violet. And I'm certainly no coward, like what Eric Holder, our current black attorney general, identified as being in America among whites because he claimed that whites are afraid to discuss race in America. I even wrote a book called Defensive Racism, subtitled An Unapologetic Examination of Racial Differences. Nobody can accuse me of not having been willing to discuss race in America. And in exchange for that willingness, I have now been dealt what happens when white people dare to try to discuss race in America with black people. I have been denied admission to a rank-and-file membership in the Constitution Party, which I have supported extensively through the years, and finally have decided to join, but they said I'm not good enough for them. Why? Because the black chairman of the Idaho Constitution Party disagrees with my writings on race relations.
All right, stop
now,
right there.
You tell me if the pendulum has swung too far.
Now, Ed, I tell you this. First of all, I can't say welcome to the club because you've been in the club a lot longer than I have. We were all disbarred from the Ron Paul revolution for hosting the show. Eddie Miller can't get into the John Burt Society. I mean, it's just the way it is when you speak truthfully about taboo subjects. But first of all, the Constitution Party had to have gone out of their way to get the only black in Idaho to serve as their chairman in the Constitution Party in Idaho.
He's fresh in from Ohio, and I don't know what the background is on his becoming the chairman of the Constitution Party in Idaho, but I find it interesting that he ascends to the chairmanship of the Idaho Constitution Party at the same time that the Republicans pick a black chairman for their national party, at the same time that we pick a black for the presidency. What's going on here?
Well, it's the prevailing trend, and as we've noticed, and I'm sure, Ed, as you've noticed, the so-called modern-day conservative movement is about a half step behind radical Marxism. You know, that's about the only difference I can see anymore. But and it's all going this way, even with the Tea Parties. They were trying to get Alan Keyes. They were trying to convince people that their lying eyes are deceiving them, even though it was 100% attendance by whites. You know, blacks had to be a part of it. And, of course, there's a double standard here, an egregious double standard that, you know, we're not welcome to come in and join the conversation about race because we have, well, common sense opinions on the matter. You can only have a conversation about race if your opinions mirror that of the communists that are running the show here, the Zionists, communists, nothing. Let's just call them what they are, the Jews. But, all right, that being said, let's just get back on point here. First of all, man, I am so mad about this, Ed, and I am not exaggerating, and I'm not putting on a show. I am dead dog tired, but this is just, I'm wringing my hands right here because the Constitution Party, I've never voted for a winner, okay? I always vote my conscience. I've been eligible to vote since 1998, so I voted for three presidents. Pat Buchanan, I voted for Michael Perutka, I voted for Chuck Baldwin, the last two obviously being the Constitution Party standard bearers. I like Chuck Baldwin. I don't agree with him on everything, particularly some of the Jewish stuff, but I like him. Perutka was nice. They come on this show. But by and large, the Constitution Party, I have noticed, and I've never been a member, but I know some members, and there's some good people there, but they always seem to be more concerned with really just, well, they don't want to win. I just don't think they want to win. Ed, you would do more for the Constitution Party than they've ever done for themselves. And I'm not just talking about getting a lot of articles because of who you are. You would really give them a chance to elect someone, all right? But they would rather lose than back someone that could be a winner because he's so-called politically incorrect. It just irks me to no end that they would do that. The Republican Party's done it, obviously. They've thrown people off the ballot. You've seen it down in West Palm Beach. They did it here in West Tennessee. A guy who actually won their primary was the Republican Party candidate for Congress, got 60,000 votes in a small district. I mean, a pretty respectable vote total for rural Western Tennessee. They threw him off the ballot the next year because he advocated some things about race that were politically incorrect, and then now they're doing it to a man of your stature and of your credibility. And, Ed, I will say this, and I am not saying this because I'm upset. I'm saying this very level-headedly. Because of this and this alone, I will never again cast a vote for the Constitution Party. You mark my words, I'll write myself in before I vote for them again. They are not serious about winning. They are not serious about addressing the issues that are killing this country.
Constitution Party ticket, I hope you'll reverse yourself about that.
Because
I do still believe in the Constitution Party platform. In fact, if you go to the national website and look at it, it goes on for acres and acres. It's very extensive these days. And, you know, and I've read every single word of it. And you know, I could have written it.
It's good, but I'm telling you, Ed, here's the thing.
My political belief system.
Look, they've got a great platform. They run halfway decent candidates, but I'm telling you, if they would do that to you, there's no way you can ever make that party a viable vehicle because let's just say people who have common sense as you do begin to join. They'll throw them out of rank and file membership, you know?
Well, I'm not done with this, James. You know, I'm outraged about this. I'm damned angry, and I'm not the kind of person to turn away from a fight, as you well know. You know, this is just my opening salvo coming on your show we're breaking the news about this right now because this has just happened.
Okay, see, I wasn't aware of when did this happen?
It came in the mail last night, and I have spent today trying to contact people, hoping that somebody would talk me out of going public with this and give me a good reason not to, but nobody has. And so I'm going public with this. I'm starting with your radio show. Tomorrow I'm going to do a formal nickel rant and release it early. I'll do my radio show this week on this. And I'm going to try to get on every radio show of everybody that I know, and I've got standing invitations to a lot of them. And I am going to make a big issue about this. And here's one of the big reasons why. I mean, there are several reasons why, not the least of which is they aren't just throwing me off the ballot. They're denying my ability to even be a member of the party.
That's what I'm talking about.
Which is just outrageous. Think about it. The irony of the Constitution Party, without due process, denying me a right to run for office, denying me a right to vote, denying me the equal protection under law that the Constitution guarantees me, denying me the right to free speech or free association.
Ed, we got to go to break. We're going to come back and let you pick it up right there, my friend. I'm sorry. We'll be right back, everyone.
The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I wouldn't consider myself to be an old war horse when it comes to service and number of years in service of this movement. I'm a little bit longer in the tooth than I was 10 years ago when I first began dabbling in this, but I tell you, I have seen a lot more than the casual observer. I have seen with my own eyes our people be denied their most basic rights, to rent a hotel room, to have legally binding contracts honored. And I have seen situations like this where those most basic rights have been violated and they have been allowed to be violated because the people have beliefs like myself, like Ed Steele, like our hosting staff, like most decent Americans do in the privacy of their own homes. I have seen what's coming, and now we find out again this evening that a man of the caliber and of the honor and character of Ed Steele is being denied really one of his most basic civil rights to join a political party and be allowed membership to that political party. He's telling us the story. We're honored. That he is getting the story out for the first time on this radio program. But, Ed, knowing you the way I do, knowing the fighting mentality that you have, I don't think you're going to take this laying down. What's your course of action?
Well, you're right. I'm not going to take it laying down. This is just the beginning. I want to get the word out, and I'm starting with your program. I am thankful and I'm honored that you're allowing me to do that here. People need to understand how ironic this is, that it's the Constitution Party doing this. You know, you mentioned that we are denied our basic rights. We are effectively denied life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're denied all the basic rights that our founding fathers fought for and died for in establishing an America. We are killed. We are locked up. And we are denied the right to pursue a profession, which is what the pursuit of happiness means. It's a term from 200 years ago, and it doesn't mean what it seems to mean. It means the right to work at what you want to work at. We are denied all those rights because of our skin color. We thought we were giving blacks equality when we started in the 50s with civil rights. We didn't realize that we were merely going to be trading places with them.
And that's exactly what we were saying in the last hour. Exactly.
Paul Venable, the chairman of the Idaho Constitution Party, a black man who disagrees with my racial writings, is worse by far than Michael Steele, the current embattled, and no relation, incidentally, to me, the current embattled RNC chairman, who you'll notice shut up about a month ago, and who, if his skin color had not been black, would have been forced to resign after the first stupid thing he said during the last election. And yet that man still holds his position. I am going to go to the organizational meeting of the Northern Idaho Constitution Party, which is happening in 3 days in Coeur d'Alene at 7 p.m. Wednesday night. And everybody who's listening to this who lives in Idaho, I'm asking you to come to Coeur d'Alene and at 7 p.m. go to Calypso's Coffee or check my website first, and I'll post if there's been a change in venue, and attend this Constitution Party meeting. Join it on your way in the door so that you have a right to vote. And if they refuse to allow you to join, then picket the place outside and make a fuss. Come and watch, if nothing else, the spectacle of me being arrested because I expect they're not going to allow me to make a statement or to do what I intend to do, which is demand that Paul Venable, who is going to be there, who is going to be running the meeting because they are electing chairmen and officers, you see.
And
I
listen,
intend to confront him and demand that he resign for having done this. I'm going to demand admission on the spot in good standing. I'm going to demand the right to vie for the Constitution Party nomination for governor, just like any Idaho resident ought to be able to do. I'm going to demand his immediate resignation on the spot, and I'm going to ask the Attorney General to investigate him for criminal violations under Idaho code in connection with the conduct of political parties in Idaho.
Yeah, you know, the ability to run as a candidate. I mean, if that's not a basic right to put yourself on the ballot for public office, then my God, what do we have left that we can
do? I spoke to the man. I approached these people, and I told them I'd like to run for governor on the Constitution Party ticket. You know, if I decide to do that, what would it take to get your blessing? And he said, well, we were thinking of not even running anybody and instead concentrating on offices that we might stand a chance for. And instead, now that I know that you have an intention of doing it, I'm going to have to find somebody to run against you.
That was a word-for-word verbatim statement.
Yes. Well, it's a paraphrasing, but it's exactly what he told me.
Okay. Well, and listen, I want to be very clear here because I want people to join you. If there was any way that I could get to Idaho by Wednesday, I would be there. I promise you. But listen, you said 3 days out. That would put it at Tuesday. The meeting is on Wednesday?
Then 4 days out. It's on Wednesday night, 7 p.m., at a place called Calypso's Coffee. The address is 116 Lakeside in Coeur d'Alene. Check my website before you go, though. If there's a change of venue, which I'm going to suggest that they do one just for the volume of people that I'm expecting this meeting to draw, I'll post it on my website for you.
Well, let's give out that website address, Ed, in case anyone doesn't know it.
www.nickelrant.com.
Nickelrant.com. You can get the information there about the venue for the meeting on Wednesday night. Folks, listen.
I mean, if nothing else, come and watch me get arrested. Come and watch me get shouted down. Come and watch me engage this guy who has denied me membership in the Constitution Party, engage him in a discussion and demand that he explain to the people assembled there exactly why he doesn't want me in the Constitution Party.
Well, first of all, I think the Constitution Party is woefully...
candidates who has raised so much money and gotten so many votes for so many Constitution Party candidates through the years, and this guy doesn't think I'm fit to even be a member.
Well, Ed, as I've said it 1,000 times, no one brings the kind of traffic to this program as you do. I don't know how you've got such a vaunted mailing list, but you run circles around even our biggest guests in terms of numbers when you appear. So I said all of that to say this. The Constitution Party bit off more than they can chew. They will probably get more protest mail from your supporters than they've gotten for any of their candidates from their very inception. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that it really gets under my skin more than anything. It's bad enough when the Republicans engage in this sort of stuff, and they've done it time and time again, as have the Democrats, of course. This is the Constitution Party. The Constitution Party. I mean, what avenues, what vehicles, what venues do we have to express ourselves and exercise these basic fundamental rights? Now the Constitution Party is acting as though they are politically incorrect. They've never won anything. If it wasn't for people like us, they wouldn't have one member. And now they are trying to run us off. I mean, how do they expect? It's a joke, Ed. This is a joke. It's not even a joke. It's serious. But
I've had a reporter to me that when Venable first came to North Idaho to assist in the organizing of the North Idaho chapter, and incidentally, there are only two Constitution Party chapters in Idaho, one down in Boise, where Venable lives, and now this one in Coeur d'Alene. But when he came here for it, he announced to the people that were present that he was here to save the Constitution for us. And my question to you is, well, that's all well and good as far as it goes, but now who's going to save the Constitution, let alone the Constitution Party, from Paul Venable?
Ed, I got a question for you. We've got about a minute left to our break. Now, this is exactly what this radio program, when I started this show back in 04, this is what we started it for, to actually take action and make a difference, a proactive difference for our people, not to sit here and become celebrities, or God knows we're not celebrities, but you know what I mean. We're not in this for ourselves. This is the kind of stuff we have a program for, to air out issues like this, get them publicity. We've got to go to break in a minute, and then we got 6 minutes of national news that we do at the top of each hour. Do you want to stay on to the next segment, or do you need to run? Whatever you want is what we're going to make happen.
I'll be happy to stay on.
Okay. If you've got more to say, sit tight, everyone. Of course, Liberty News Radio broadcasts national news bursts 5 minutes at the top of each hour to its affiliates across the country that are playing this broadcast tonight, in addition to AM 1380, our flagship station here in Memphis. We are going to go to break, and when we come back in the third hour, in about 6 minutes, we're going to continue this conversation and get more information from Edgar Steele himself. What a terrible, terrible circumstance that is presenting itself up in Idaho, and in the Constitution Party of all things. This is very disturbing. We have got to take action. Ladies and gentlemen, it is your duty, if you are a fan of this show, to take action on behalf of a man who has taken action for us for decades. If we don't stand behind Ed Steele right now, we shouldn't call ourselves men and women. We'll be back in just a moment.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.